Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, how those words echo and reverberate through time and through the world, if you knew the gift of God." Have you ever thought about how much pain, depression, death, tragedy, hatred, and violence is the direct result of our not knowing the gift of God? Simple answer is all of it. And the biggest heartbreak of it is that none of it has ever had to happen. The woman at the well, her life is a mess, and Jesus, who knows all things, has great compassion for her. He gently calls her out about her personal sins, as well as the cultural sins that all add up to a life of misery. She is an outcast in a community of outcasts. Her situation is so bad that she can't even share in the safety of the morning trip to the well with the rest of the women in the village because she is shunned. She exists on the edge. And this is where Jesus comes to her, that she may know the gift of God to the world. Look at the first reading, where we see the Hebrews out in the desert and we hear their complaints. They're thirsty. They need water to survive, and they complain loudly to Moses, but not too humbly. The reading says they quarreled there and tested the Lord. Well, testing God is never a good thing and generally doesn't work out too well for those who do so. Our first inclination might be empathy for this band of people who have been led out into the desert to wander for years. The desert is hot and barren, and they need water to live. From this individual passage of Scripture, we too might be tempted to question what God is doing with them. But when we look at the whole picture of the Hebrews, we discover that their long wandering in the desert is the result of their own doing. God's initial intent for them was a quick trip from Egypt through the desert and into the promised land. But from the beginning, their hearts were hardened and didn't allow them to see the gift of God given to them. For 400 years, they had been in harsh slavery in Egypt. Their only purpose, make bricks. Bricks for the tombs of the false gods of Egypt. The population they had was controlled by the killing of their children. And when the tombs were finished, their usefulness would be finished, and they would most likely be completely destroyed. So they were a people who existed in slavery to dark forces. They were surrounded by death, they served death, and they were destined for death. And this is where God comes to them. They are his chosen people, the lineage of the patriarchs who were in covenant with God. So they are rescued from death by the God of life. They are wondrously led out of Egypt into the desert, where they will come to know the one who has freed them and restored them. Unfortunately, this hardened, stiff-necked people hold on to the culture of death and false gods that is so ingrained in them over generations. They constantly rebel against God, and so the change of heart from death to life required the passing of an entire generation out in the desert, the purifying harshness of the desert, before they can ever enter the promised land that waits for them. If only they knew the gift of God, the gift of life, it will be different for them. So where are we going in all this? Well, there are two points I want to make this morning. The first regards the historically proven devastation of a culture of death. Not just long ago in biblical history, but also in the recent history of Earth's nations. And now it is frighteningly becoming our history as well. To see hardness of heart Tune into the political scene. Obtuse behavior, overriding morality and rationality. Anger, violence, and desperation inflaming people and leaving them devoid of joy. Death, you want to see death? We have terrorism, genocide, racism, abortion, suicide, violent crime, and medical practices that prey on those who are bothersome in the way or imperfect. The slavery to death is present to us just as it was for many who came before us. And like them, it is with us by our own choice. Like the Hebrews and the woman at the well and so many others, do we want to be enslaved this way, surrounded by death, serving death, destined for death? No. No, we don't. We don't want that. The fact that we are here at Mass makes that clear. And that's my second point today. Why are we here? We're here because at some level we know the gift of God. We know that God is a God of life. And when we exist in a culture that seems to be in chaos, we want the life that God offers. We come here and breathe deeply the affirmation of God that He is greater than death. We know the gift of God. We share it with each other, and then we take it out in the world to live it. For 5,000 years, God has looked after His people. And we are certain in our faith that He won't stop now. When we were children, our parents did things that perhaps we didn't understand at the time, but they turned out to be in our best interests. And in this, we learned to trust them, to trust their love for us, and to love them in return. So it is with God. Even though we are adults, we are His children, and we trust in His love. And that's the good news, isn't it? The great gift of God to all of us. God loves us. We have a God who is greater than all else, even death, and He loves us. We carry this love in our hearts, our souls, and our minds. Every action we take with this love in mind. We have light in the darkness, and we see the path to walk. We know we are loved, and we know that this love conquers all. And because of this, we need never live in slavery or fear again.